Good morning, and welcome to St. Benedict Catholic Church in our celebration of the fifth Sunday of Lent. A special welcome to our visitors and those joining us for the first time. We're happy to have you with us. Today's gospel powerfully reveals Jesus' mercy and wisdom. Jesus sees beyond our sins to our potential for change, inviting us to live in grace and compassion, and reminding us not to judge others harshly, since we too are in need of mercy. Thank you.
Good morning. Please stand and join us in singing 688, Holy is His Name, number 688.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Brothers and sisters, today in the fifth Sunday of Lent, we get to continue on our journey towards Holy Week, towards the Lord's Passion and His Resurrection. The Lord has a deep desire for us to be able to experience in our own life the fact of the resurrection actually here below, right, before our own death, before the resurrection of the dead at the end of time. He has a desire for us to experience all of His grace and His blessing. And in light of that, my friends, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore I ask, Blessed Mary, Ever-Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Kyrie eleison. Christe eleison.
Christe eleison.
Kyrie eleison. Let us pray. By your help, we beseech you, Lord our God, may we walk eagerly in that same charity with which, out of love for the world, your Son handed himself over to death. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, who opens a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, who leads out chariots and horsemen, a powerful army, till they lie prostrate together, never to rise, snuffed out and quenched like a wick. Remember not the events of the past, the things of long ago, consider not. See, I am doing something new. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? In the desert I make a way, in the wasteland rivers. Wild beasts honor me, jackals and ostriches. For I put water in the desert and rivers in the wasteland for my chosen people to drink, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might announce my praise. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Father,
torrents in the southern desert, those that sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. Although they go forth weeping, carrying the seed to be sown, they shall come back rejoicing, carrying their sheaves. The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, I consider everything as a loss because of the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have accepted the loss of all things, and I consider them so much rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having any righteousness of my own based on the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God, depending on faith to know him and the power of his resurrection, and the sharing of his sufferings by being conformed to his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. It is not that I have already taken hold of it or have already attained perfect maturity, but I continue my pursuit in hope that I may possess it, since I have indeed been taken possession of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I, for my part, do not consider myself to have taken possession. Just one thing, forgetting what lies behind, but straining forward to what lies ahead. I continue my pursuit toward the goal, the prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." The Gospel of the Lord. Buckle up a little bit, because this one is going to be kind of a rollicking fest of intellectual concepts, okay? So, there's a couple things about this beautiful experience of Jesus and the woman caught in adultery, right, that we have to be able to pull out, right, and understand. And the first one is this. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. This is actually this one line, this timing and this location is very important to notice. He went to the Mount of Olives. Where did he begin his passion? Right? And the Mount of Olives, right? He was in the garden. He was already going there, right? When he got to Jerusalem and its surroundings, he started going to the Mount of Olives because he knew this was going to be the place where his passion began. He was going there to pray in silence with the Father. Why did Jesus start there in the silence and this intimacy with the Father? Because he was preparing his human heart for accepting the kind of blast crater of human sin, right? We have to remember, right, when Jesus offered himself to save us, right, he is not appeasing an abusive father who needed to punish somebody, right, in order to make up for our sin. We don't actually believe that as Catholics. What we do believe as Catholics is this, is that sin itself, the first sin of Adam and Eve and every other sin that came after, right, creates a blast crater, right, in the human heart, right? It actually diminishes our humanity. Sin is actually unnatural, meaning it's against our nature. That's why when you meet saints, they are the most human of us, the ones who are most alive with joy and with happiness. They actually have a fullness of humanity because their humanity has been progressively redeemed and filled in with the love of Christ. Sin is a removal of human experience, really. In this way, sin is its own punishment. Sin is its own punishment. And in order for us to be able to experience the fullness of life, we need something to fill back in our humanity that we've taken away on our own. That's what the sacrifice of God is. That's what Jesus is doing. As a human, Jesus is able to fill in that, or is able to be the conduit, the vector by which the divine God in him is able to fill in and change humanity. Jesus is perfectly God and perfectly man. So he's able to redeem humanity and fill it back in a concrete way. So that's what he's preparing for in the Mount of Olives, preparing for his crucifixion. So, let's keep that in our mind. Sin is its own punishment that needs to be filled back in. Humanity needs to be filled back up. Basically, that's what's happening. And humans ourselves don't have that ability to do that on our own. If we did, right, we wouldn't be here in these pews, okay? Right? We're not here because we're good people. We're here because we're sick people who need healing, right? We're a hospital, right? We're a hospital. So, you and me both, right? I'm not trying to point fingers. So, anyway, that being said, Jesus then goes to the temple area early in the morning. So, we have to realize this is probably around 5 a.m. So, Jesus has been up all night praying, right? And shortly before that, the Pharisees went and caught this woman in adultery. Now, how do you catch somebody in adultery? You have had to make a plan, right? You would have had to heard before. And notice they don't bring the man forward. They only bring her. This is important. They are using her. They're using her to trap Jesus. They don't care about her. They don't care about the guy that she was with. They just want to get at Jesus. They are scapegoating her. Scapegoating. This is the second thing I need to go into. Scapegoating is an aspect of our broken human nature. Right? What is a scapegoat? A scapegoat is the experience where I point out somebody in a group or a person or just in a relationship and I say, all the bad that is happening to me or my family or my people is because of that person. That person needs to die in some way. Needs to die in some way. May not be physical, it could be emotional, it could be on the altar of public opinion, any method. That person needs to die. And once they do, then everything will be good again. That is a scapegoat. This was introduced through the dynamic of sin. This is not something that's natural to humans. Not natural to our nature and how we are made. What Jesus is doing in this context, all of his crucifixion, his passion, death, and resurrection, right, is he's making himself the primary scapegoat voluntarily. Nobody is making him the scapegoat. He is making himself the scapegoat in order to undo it from the inside out. And also simultaneously fill back up human nature. So when they bring this woman to him, whom they are scapegoating, right? He says to himself, well, no, right? Sure, she sinned. So did that other guy that they didn't bring forward. But no, that's not her role. That's not what she's meant to play. That's not part of her nature. It's not meant to be a part of any person's nature to be scapegoated. So I'm going to do that because I've just been praying through this in the Mount of Olives, preparing for it. So he's sitting there drawing on the ground, right? And he's thinking there. He's considering all of her life, all of who she is, all of the reasons why she had found herself in that situation. He's also considering all of what the man was doing, how he found himself in that situation. And what does he feel? Sadness. Not anger. Not wrath, but just sadness. My son and my daughter find themselves in the situation. I need to fill this back in. I need to redeem and complete their heart. I need to love them. So that's why he drives everybody away with a reversal of his questions. And he says to this woman, is there anyone here to condemn you? No, neither do I. Go and sin no more. What is he saying in that statement? He's simply saying this. I do not correct sin by punishment. I do not correct sin by accusation. The accuser is the devil. The punisher is the devil. I do not condemn. I will never correct your sin with more pain. It's its own pain. Look at how you found yourself here. You're afraid and you feel alone. I'm here to fill back up. The only thing that's going to bring you to newness of life, my daughter, and also by extension, my son, who's not here, is to love you. To love you. And I'm going to offer myself to fill back in those places in your heart that need that love. Because, my friends, the reasons why we sin is either for two reasons: pride and also woundedness, right? We're trying to get something that for ourselves and control and take, a lot of times because we're afraid. The Lord doesn't want us to have that fear. He wants to heal the fear first, not the sin. Heal the fear first. Heal the wound first. And then the sin will begin to dissipate because we'll start clinging to the Lord in a new way because we're loved. It's in this way that this passage is for all of us in our daily life, our spiritual journey, our pilgrimage throughout life. We need to see that the Lord is never going to punish you. He's actually trying to bring you out of punishment, which means bringing you out of sin, because sin is its own punishment. He's wanting to bring you out of isolation, out of fear, out of shame, to this fullness of life that he has for you, that only he can give, that he's paid the debt for, the blast crater that has been filled in. This is what it means to have the resurrection here below. This is what it means to have the resurrection here below, to experience this fullness of life and love, even in the places where we feel most fearful, we receive love there. That's what makes us free. So it gives us the expectation, even, and a joy in front of our own death, because we get to meet him face to face and receive fullness of life. So I want to end with one last thing about the scapegoat. It's just one thing that we need to know as just a community and as Catholics and as just people, okay? Everybody here, myself included, will always be tempted to scapegoat somebody, okay? I just want to give you a practical here. You will never be able to name who you're scapegoating on your own. Somebody else has to point it out to you, right? My blindness, our own blindness towards ourselves is so deep normally, right, that we really do need help in understanding, like, you know, where we need to grow and heal and convert. The thing here is with Jesus is that he's actually helping this woman, like, point out her own sin, right, in this love and this mercy. We need Jesus to do that through each other. So if we ever find ourselves in the context of work or family, like, yeah, I can't believe he did this. I can't believe she did that. Da-da-da-da-da-da. That's the aspect of scapegoating, right? It's really hard to come out of that on our own. We need trusted friends to help point us out. No, he or she, even as difficult or ornery as they may be, because that can be true too. Two things can be true at once. This person's a jerk, but also they don't deserve that treatment, right? We need somebody to say, yes, that may be true. However, they're loved by the Lord, right? We need other people around us to help us live that charity. So my friends, simply to conclude, when we're receiving communion or a blessing today, I just want you to ask the Lord, right, to point out to you in your own heart, where are the places he needs to fill in? And those are the places where you don't like thinking about. The places of your life that you're afraid to think about. The places of your life that you don't want to let go of. But I promise you, he will talk about those things with you in love and joy and kindness. And you fill it back in. You'll fill it all back in. But I promise you, if you ask him, Lord, reveal to me those places, he will speak and it will be powerful and filled with life, with a foretaste of resurrection. Brothers and sisters, let us stand and profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father, Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became for our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and life of the world to come. Amen. Let's now turn our prayers and petitions before the Heavenly Father who loves us.
That those who have failed in their Lenten promises begin again with trust in God's mercy. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For people of every nation, that they will work together to build a world of peace and justice. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those involved in peace work, that they may bring calm to unsteady situations. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For women and girls who face abuse and terror, that they may be rescued and protected. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the elect, that they may open their hearts to God's love and mercy, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who have gone before us faithfully, as faithful servants of Jesus, that they bask forever in the sight of him and the glory of his divine presence, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
In silence, we pray for our own needs and the special intentions of others, to the God who promises to return for those who live in his love.
Heavenly Father, you with the Son and the Holy Spirit are a communion of love. Welcome us always into this communion, and if it be your holy will, answer these prayers which we have put before you through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Please join us in singing 160, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, 160.
Yep, perfect. That's okay, don't worry about it, it's okay. Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and the good of all his holy church. Hear us, Almighty God, and having instilled in your servants the teachings of the Christian faith, graciously purify them by the working of this sacrifice through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For you have given your children a sacred time for the renewing and purifying of their hearts, that freed from disordered affections, they may so deal with the things of this passing world as to hold rather to the things that eternally endure. And so with all the angels and saints, we praise you as without end we acclaim. Holy. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread, and giving thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
Save us, Savior of the world, for by your cross and resurrection
you have set us free. Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life, the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church, spread throughout the world and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis our Pope and Paul our Bishop and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them in the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray that, with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles, and all the saints who pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, forever and ever.
Amen.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, but that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us offer each other the sign of peace. Christ bring to life to us our sins. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, who art the will of the Father and the work of the Holy Spirit, you do give life to the world freely by this most holy body and blood from all my sins and from every evil. Keep me always faithful to your commandments and never let me depart from you. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
We begin communion one. Begin singing with number 373, Anis Angelicus.
Join us in singing 355, I Am the Bread of Life.
I will raise you up, and I will raise you up.
Let us pray. We pray, Almighty God, that we may always be counted among the members of Christ, whose body and blood we have communion, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. Some announcements real quick.
Thank you for the wonderful turnout and heartfelt participation in our Stations of the Cross and Lenten Suppers. This weekend, join us for the 30-minute performance of The Two Faces in the Shadows, a dramatic dialogue between Simon Peter and Judas Iscariot as they remember and discuss the events of the Passion of the Christ. It will be on Friday, this Friday, April 11th, 6 p.m., and Saturday, April 12th at 6 p.m. at St. John. So this Friday here, Saturday at St. John. Don't miss the intense and moving experience that invites us to see the Passion of Christ through the eyes of two very different disciples. Lenten Suppers will follow both performances, providing an opportunity for fellowship and reflection. And you're also invited to join the Camino de Seattle, a special Lenten pilgrimage from St. John the Evangelist to St. Benedict, and concluding at St. Alphonsus. It's happening on Saturday, April 12th, starting with a free luncheon at 12:30 at St. John Parish. Please sign up so they know how much food to prepare. And our parish family's full Holy Week and Easter schedule is now available in the bulletin. And please note, there will be no 7 p.m. Mass at St. Benedict on Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. Instead, we encourage the St. Benedict community to come together as one parish family at the 11 a.m. Mass and celebrate these holy days in unity. And this weekend marks the launch of our very first One Parish Family Bulletin. Please be sure to pick up a copy on your way out. And there will be confession tonight at 6 p.m. before the 7 p.m. Mass. And join us for the social hour after Mass. Our host today is Libby Guevara. Thank you.
Very briefly from me, Palm Sunday, begins Holy Week. I want us to be able to really experience ourselves as community together for those kind of critical masses, right, that we have. We start with Palm Sunday. That's why I want us to be together for just one Mass at St. Ben's, to make sure I have all the hot coals together, right, for that beautiful experience. And then also, I really invite you to participate in all of the Holy Week liturgies, the Triduum, because it's the highest point of our year, and Jesus really reveals new aspects of our soul and our heart to us when we participate in those masses. So please come, Holy Thursday, St. John, Good Friday here at St. Ben, and then Easter Vigil at St. Al's. And look, I forgot to say, there's going to be a resurrection party after the Easter Vigil. There'll be kegs and stuff outside. It'll be lovely, right? So that's going to be super fun. I forgot to announce that at St. Al's earlier today. So I forgot to say in the homily, look, one of the things with the readings that I didn't point out was that notice the Lord's constantly saying to us, do not look at your past. Constantly, don't look at your past. Look at my grace. Look at my face. Look at my mercy. Right? It's really important for us. And then lastly, look, Father Parrish, I'm looking for about 2 cubic yards of dirt. If you have any free dirt, let me know. Talk to me after Mass. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. Thanks be to God.
Please join us in singing number 431, There's a Wideness in God's Mercy, 431.
There.